You're listening to a programme from BBC Radio 4.
Brain of Britain, the nationwide general knowledge contest, chaired by Russell Davis.
Hello. It's the 12th and last of our 2016 heat today, and we're making a return visit to Media City in Salford to meet our last quartet of new competitors this year. There's one remaining automatic place in the semi-finals, and in just under half an hour, we'll know who's won it. Let's meet them.
Hello, my name's Richard Forrest. I'm a database designer and plesiosaur paleontologist from Nottingham.
Hello, I'm Michael McPartland, a civil servant from Middlesbrough.
Hello, I'm David Sims. I'm a tennis coach and I live in Liverpool.
Hello, I'm Sharon Telfer. I'm a freelance writer from Pocklington.
And at the end of today's contest, we'll also be able to work out who the four top-scoring runners-up are in the heats this year. They will also be taking part in the semi-finals starting next week. So it's still possible for more than one person to go through today if it's a high-scoring heat. Good luck, all four of you. Let's start things off today with your first question, Richard Forrest. The Flavian Amphitheatre in Rome is more generally known by what one-word name?
The Colosseum.
Yes. What is the common name of the part of the eye known scientifically as the sclera?
The iris.
No. Michael McPartland?
Cornea.
No. David Sims?
Retina.
Nope. Sharon Telfer? No. It's the white of the eye. Yeah. Michael McPartland, moving on to you. Under what much better known name did Adeline Stephen publish novels, short stories and essays between 1915 and 1941?
Louisa May Alcott.
No. David Sims.
Dorothy Parker.
No. No. Sharon Telfer.
Rebecca West.
No. Richard Forrest shakes his head. No. Virginia Woolf. Virginia was her middle name and Woolf her married name. David Sims, the home of which South Coast football team promoted in 2015 is now officially the ground with the smallest capacity in Premier League history.
To imagine Bournemouth.
AFC Bournemouth, yes. The Vitality Stadium holds 11,700, which is really not many. In which English seaside town will you find the Comedy Carpet, a 2,200 square metre pavement containing jokes from more than 1,000 comedians and writers?
Morecambe?
No. Sharon Telfer?
Blackpool?
But yes, if it wasn't Morecambe. It must be Blackpool, officially opened in 2011 by Ken Dodd. Your question, Sharon Telfer, which 19th century composer's third symphony is known as the Rhenish because it was begun after the composer took a Rhine excursion?
Brahms?
Not Brahms, I fear. David Sims?
Schumann?
Schumann, Robert Schumann, yes. It's Third Symphony in E-flat major, opus 97. And very swiftly, we've come to the end of the first round. Michael McPartland yet to score, but Richard Forrest has won, Sharon Telfer won, and David Sims two. Off we go immediately again with Richard Forrest. The America's Cup was first awarded in 1851 for a yacht race around which island?
Long Island?
No. Sharon Telfer?
Cowes?
Not an island. David Sims?
Fastnet?
No. Michael McPartland?
Martha's Vineyard?
No, no. Close to home. And Cowes is sort of part of the answer. It's the Isle of Wight. But that's the answer I needed. The cup was first won by the America, a schooner from New York City, and has been known as the America's Cup ever since. Michael McPartland, in 1964, the Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love was replaced at number one in the UK charts by Lennon and McCartney's own song, A World Without Love, as sung by whom?
Cilla Black?
No. David Sims?
Peter and Gordon.
Peter and Gordon, who were Peter Asher and Gordon Waller, yes. Although credited to Lennon and McCartney, it was largely a McCartney composition. He was walking out with Peter Asher's sister Jane at the time. Walking out, we used to say that. David Sims, in 1708, Joseph Trapp, an English clergyman and writer, was the first person appointed to which official post, which has since been held by, among others, Matthew Arnold, Robert Graves, and Simon Armitage.
No idea. Sorry.
Okay. It's Sharon Telfer.
Oxford Professor of Poetry.
That's the one, okay. Yes. His contemporaries, Joseph Trapp's contemporaries, Jonathan Swift among them, didn't think much of him, apparently. Sharon Telfer, another question. November 2017 will mark the 100th anniversary of a famous letter sent to Lionel Walter, 2nd Baron Rothschild, declaring the British government's interest in establishing in Palestine a national home for the Jewish people. How is this letter better known?
Balfour Declaration.
Yes, that's the name. A person born on the last day of the First World War would have been how old on the first day of the Second World War?
29?
No. Michael McPartland?
21?
Nope. Yes, Dave Sims. 20. 20 is right, yes, because it's the 11th of November 1918 to the 3rd of September 1939, so not quite 21, still 20. And here are the scores. Michael McPartland yet to get off the ground. Richard Forrest, 1. Sharon Telfer, 3. David Sims, 4. A run of answers by anybody will leap into the lead here. Richard Forrest, this next round starts with a piece of music. I'd like you to listen to this song from the Lionel Bart musical Oliver and tell me not the name of the character singing, but who she's singing about.
As long as he needs me, oh yes, he does need me. In spite of what you see, I'm sure that he needs me. Love him still when they've been used so ill. He knows I always will, as long as he needs me.
Bill Sykes.
Yes. We heard Shaney Wallace as Nancy in the 1968 film soundtrack. The song had been a huge hit for Shirley Bassey in 1960 in a rather different rendition at the time of the musical's original West End success. In 1982, King Juan Carlos of Spain bestowed which 20th century artist with the title Marquis of Púbol?
Picasso?
No, Michael McPartland.
Dali.
Salvador Dali is right, yes, well done. Your question now. Which country's rugby union team used to perform a war dance called the Thimbi before test matches?
Samoa.
Not Samoa, I fear. David Sims.
Fiji.
Fiji is right, yes. They now usually perform the Mbole, with the meaning acceptance of a challenge, which came into use in 2012. More energetic and has been seen as more appropriate for the build-up to a game. Nastier, in other words. David Sims, which character in a Victor Hugo novel suffered from kyphosis?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes, sometimes called Roundback. It's the pathological convex curvature of the spine. Which is the largest of the moons of Jupiter?
Titan.
No, yeah. Michael McPartland.
Ganymede.
Ganymede is right. Sharon Telfer, which general was president of Argentina throughout the Falklands War?
Galtieri?
General Galtieri, yes, a fond memory, I think. I've never actually walked 500 miles. I like walking, but that's a bit much. A member of which pop group was quoted as saying this in August 2015?
The Proclaimers.
Yes. Who is the only former member of the Nazi Party buried on Mount Zion in Jerusalem?
Speer?
No, Michael McPartland.
Schindler.
Oscar Schindler, yes. He went bankrupt in 1957 and spent the rest of his life supported by donations from the Schindlerjuden, as the Jews he saved came to be known. End of another round. Scores are bunched up a little bit here. Richard Forrest has 2. Michael McPartland now 3. Sharon Telfer, 5. David Sims, 6. Right back to Richard Forrest again. In which play did Shakespeare first use the word British?
Henry V?
No. Michael McPartland.
King Lear.
Yes, you're right. And it is your question. A piece of music. Here comes a piece for you, a pop hit from the 1960s in this case, with a question afterwards.
So goodbye.
Who was that singer billed at the time as the 12-year-old genius?
Helen Shapiro?
No, Sharon Telfer.
Stevie Wonder?
Yes, Little Stevie Wonder, as he was. He was singing Fingertips Part 2. His first album, Little Stevie Wonder, the 12-year-old genius, released when he was actually 13, was an immediate success. David Sims, what was the name of the reality TV show that featured the Thornhill Community Academy Secondary School in Dewsbury?
Rock School?
No, Sharon Telfer.
Educating Yorkshire?
That was the very one, yes. And we come round to your question. In which decade did the vision of Our Lady of Knock, which turned the County Mayo village into a major pilgrimage site, take place?
1880s.
No. Richard Forrest.
1940s.
No. David Sims.
1950s.
Nope. Michael McPartland, going to have a go?
1920s.
No, you're closest at the beginning. 1870s. 1879, to be precise. It was almost the 1880s. End of another round. Richard Forrest, 2. Michael McPartland, 4. David Sims, 6. Sharon Telfer, now 7. Still ever so close, so let's give our competitors a chance to sit back for a few moments and take their hands off the buzzer controls as we invite them to collaborate on a pair of questions sent to us by a listener hoping to beat the brains. Many hundreds of you have emailed ideas in recent months to brainofbritain@bbc.co.uk or sent us your suggestions on paper. One such is Mark White in West Sussex, who stands to win a small token of our appreciation if the four of you can't deal with his questions. Here goes then. And needless to say, this doesn't make any difference to the scores in the contest proper. Mark White asks first, if Sunderland did it in 1979 and Villa did it in 1981, who did it in 1980?
It's Alan Sunderland who scored the...
Ricky Villa, so 1980.
Trevor Brooking,
who scored the winning goal in the cup final.
Gosh, that's brilliant. That's very, very quick, and you're right. You also spotted that Mr. White was taking a bit of a liberty with one of those names, because these are the people who scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final in those years, and it was Alan Sunderland for Arsenal, 79, and Ricky Villa, not strictly speaking pronounced Villa, though some did, for Spurs in 1981, and Brooking scored the winning goal for West Ham in 1980. Well, that detained you for approximately 9 seconds, I would think. Let's try question two. How did Uruguay come to win a European championship in 1959?
That's a horse, that's a point, isn't it? Shall we try that? I don't know what it is, it's a good horse, the horse, the European, like the thing Princess Anne won.
Okay, yeah, I'm happy with
that. It was a horse that won the European Horsey Championship.
And that is the right answer.
Well done.
Uruguay was indeed a horse ridden by Piero Dinzeo, who won the European Horsey Championships, as you say, show jumping championships in Paris that year, the same partnership having won Olympic bronze in Stockholm 3 years earlier. So, Mark White, I'm afraid those were cunning questions, but you did not prevail, and we cannot send you a book token. Never mind. There's nothing at all deceptive about this round of applause. Mm-hmm. There aren't too many weeks of the current series left, but that doesn't mean we're not keen to keep receiving your ideas for questions to use in this part of the programme. We can always store them up for next year's series. They can be linked in theme, as Mark White's sort of were, or entirely unrelated. brainofbritain@bbc.co.uk will reach us at any time, or you can send them in an envelope or on a postcard to Brain of Britain, BBC Dock House, Media City, Salford, M50 2LH. Remember to include the answers. You'd be surprised how many people don't. And let us have your name and address too, in case we use them and need to send you a prize. Let's get back to the contest then. And it's your turn again, Richard Forrest. The four railway stations on a standard English monopoly board are Fenchurch Street, King's Cross, Liverpool Street and Marylebone. Can you name any of the four stations on a standard French monopoly board?
Gare du Nord.
Yep, that'll do. Yes. Gare du Nord, Montparnasse, Saint-Lazare, Gare de Lyon. The new room, established by John Wesley in 1739, is the world's oldest Methodist chapel. In which English city will you find it?
Peterborough?
Not Peterborough, no. David Sims.
Oxford.
No. Worth a guess, Michael?
Manchester.
Not Manchester, no. Sharon Telfer?
Leeds.
Not Leeds, I'm afraid, no. Bristol. Michael McPartland, what is the colloquial name for deuterium oxide?
A heavy water.
Yes. In 1878, which Irish writer became the manager of the actor Sir Henry Irving?
Bram Stoker?
Yes. His duties as manager included writing letters, sometimes up to 50 a day for Irving, as well as travelling worldwide on Irving's tours. Stoker, who seems such a Victorian personage, lived on till 1912. Sir George Thomas was a leading English chess player between the wars. He also reached international standard in two sports, tennis and which other?
Table tennis?
No. David Sims?
The Thomas Cup, I think, is badminton. So, yeah.
Indeed, badminton, yes. He also played hockey at county level for Hampshire. Right, we're on to David Sims, and you're about to hear some music, part of a well-known aria from Bizet's opera Carmen, sung by the Toreador, who is the object of Carmen's ill-fated love. What is his name?
Sadly, I don't know, so we'll have to have a guess. So we say Antonio.
No, that's a fair guess. Sharon Telfer.
Escamillo.
Escamillo, yes, and that was Robert Merrill taking the role. Sharon Telfer, your question. Which astronomer was given command of HMS Paramore in 1698 so that he could observe the conditions of terrestrial magnetism, and in 1701 published his general chart of the variation of the compass, although he is best known today for a quite different astronomical discovery?
Herschel?
No. David Sims?
Halley.
Edmund Halley, yes, you're right. End of another round, and here are the scores. Gosh, pretty kettle of fish here. Richard Forrest, 3. Michael McPartland, 6. David Sims and Sharon Telfer, 8. Sorry to be corny, but it is anybody's contest still. Richard Forrest. Oh, one of the original seven wonders of the ancient world, the tomb of Mausolus, from which we get the word mausoleum, was at which city in what's now Turkey?
Ankara.
No. Michael McPartland?
Halicarnassus.
Yes, then part of the Persian Empire. Site is now part of the city of Bodrum. Michael McPartland, which 20th century novel is mainly set in the fictional town of Chandrapur?
Midnight's Children?
No. David Sims?
Passage to India.
By E.M. Forster, you're right, yes. David Sims, your question. What had Hitler intended to rename Berlin had he won the war?
I never heard this one before. Siegfried.
No, Michael McPartland?
Germania.
Germania, yes, or Germania, I suppose, with vast new avenues and structures designed by Albert Speer. Sharon Telfer, music for you now, and your question relates, tangentially at least, to this pop hit of the 1970s. Have a listen. Tamata wakatangi hangi kuwe uwo tamataya turi puka kapiki mongo hora luku poka wena wakatana tahu mataku waitanga nuru kawa mikitora. That was The Lone Ranger, which in 1979 became the only substantial hit of the British group Quantum Jump. The opening chant we heard, to the casual ear just a string of nonsense, is in fact an approximation of the longest place name anywhere in the world. In which country will you find it?
New Zealand?
Yes. And talking of approximations, its full name is Tamata wakatangi hangi kwao tamate ature pokuko piki moango haranuku pokai wen uakatanu tau. If you knew how wrong that was, you wouldn't clap. But anyway, it was something like that. Locals sensibly call it Taumata Hill. To jibber the kibber is to do what to a ship?
Turn it round.
No. Sort of sounds like that, doesn't it, David Sims?
Put it in a dry dock and give it a good clean.
They all need it from time to time, but it ain't the right answer. No. Yes, Richard Forrest.
To tack, if it's a sailing vessel.
No, it's more nefarious than that. It's to decoy it ashore using false lights. Don't know how often that happens these days, but it used to, I suppose. Here are the remarkable scores. Richard Forrest, 3. Michael McPartland, 8. David Sims, 9. Sharon Telfer, 9. And those, I should tell you, everybody, are the scores as we go into the final round. So everything to play for now. Richard Forrest, back to you. Which institution was founded by William of Wykeham in 1382, a few years after he founded New College, Oxford?
Cambridge University.
No. David Sims.
Charterhouse
no,
School.
No, not Charterhouse School, no.
Winchester.
Michael McPartland says?
Winchester.
Winchester College, yes. Full name in the statutes is Collegium Sancti Maria Prope Wintoniam, the College of St. Mary near Winchester. Students past and present from the college are referred to as Wykehamists. Michael McPartland, which rocket designer, generally regarded as the father of the Soviet space program, was responsible for the launch of Sputnik 1, and after his death in 1966, was buried in the Kremlin wall in Red Square?
Korolev.
Can you have another go at that? Because I'm almost inclined to give it you.
Korolev.
I think you have to, yes, it's Korolev, actually, K-O-R-O-L-E-V, Sergei Korolev, but I will give you that. The Batrachomyomachia, a mock epic poem sometimes attributed to Homer, describes a battle between which two types of animal?
Lions and elephants.
Not those, no. David Sims.
Lions and tigers?
No. Richard Forrest.
Ants and bees.
Nope. Sharon Telfer.
Camels and elephants?
No, more preposterous still, I think, in a way. Frogs and mice is the answer. David Sims. In literature, Basil Hallward painted whose portrait?
Dorian Gray.
Yes, in the novel by Oscar Wilde, the picture of Dorian Gray. Which Russian word, roughly meaning destruction or devastation, was first applied to the Tsarist attacks on the Jews in Russia during the early 1880s?
Pogrom?
Yes, pogrom. Similar to the Japanese nori, the red-tinged edible seaweed Porphyra umbilicalis, found round the coasts of South Wales and Ireland, is better known by what name?
Rack?
No. Sharon Telfer?
Carrageen?
Nope. Richard Forrest.
Lava?
Lava, yes, as in lava bread, the local delicacy of the South Wales coast. Sharon Telfer, the famous line, "Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes," is thought to have been first said by Colonel William Prescott during which Battle of the American Revolution?
Saratoga?
No, Michael McPartland.
Bunker Hill.
Bunker Hill is right, yes. And that brings us to the end of this last heat of Brain of Britain 2016 with these final scores. Richard Forrest, 4. Sharon Telfer, 9. David Sims, 11. Michael McPartland, 11. So, they were not final scores. After all, we're going to have a tie-break question. This will involve just the two of you, Michael McPartland and David Sims. The question is this. The actor Maurice Denham provided all of the voices for the characters in which 1954 British animated film? David Sims?
Animal Farm.
You're right. That's the right answer. So, phew, it is David Sims who takes the last of the automatic places in the semi-finals and will be back at some point within the next month or so to fight for a place in the final. My thanks to the other three for a terrific contest. And with a score of 11, it's quite possible that Michael McPartland has done well enough to be returning too. We still have to do that calculation. So congratulations to all of you. You really can't afford to miss the semi-finals, which start next week. Thank you for listening. And from everyone here at Media City in Salford, goodbye.
You can download many more BBC Radio 4 programmes for free. Find these at bbc.co.uk/radio4.